1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to notice, I'm going to read the first three verses, and I want you to notice the emphasis that's given here to knowledge and how important that knowledge is. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, or I don't want you to not know what's really important, what should be priority. Ye know, this is what you do know, that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So the emphasis in these introductory verses of this chapter on the gifts of the Spirit is you need to know this, and the things that you already know are that you have been so led astray by false gods and false idols. You Gentiles, you were carried away by these dumb idols, idols that were, you know, man-made, that could not speak, but yet the priest, the pagan priest, would say, this is what God is saying, and it wasn't from the Lord. It wasn't real. It was man's ideas. So as a result, they were led astray. That's what it's talking about there. You were carried away, even as you were led. You were led astray by bad teaching, wrong teaching. He said, I want you to understand that if you are truly of God, that you will speak the truth, that you will give no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And so you can see there the importance of knowledge. Hosea, the prophet Hosea said in chapter 4, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now we also know that on the carnal side, that the Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. So a person who has knowledge just for knowledge's sake is going to get proud and arrogant and self-sufficient. But what we need is not that side of knowledge. We need knowledge concerning spiritual things. We need to have knowledge concerning the things of God. Romans 10 and 2, it talks about them that have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're all enthusiastic. They're all, zealous, but not for the things of God. It's a dangerous thing for someone to be anxious and excited to do something, but to not know what they need to do, to not be on the right pathway of obedience to God and the Word of God. So when people talk about the Spirit, the move of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit, I've heard people say, well, you know, all of that had its place, but what I really like is just the knowledge of the Word of God as if that you have to make a choice between a spiritual manifestation of the Spirit and the truth of God's Word. No, they work hand in hand. Knowledge of the truth and the Spirit of truth, they just work hand in hand. And people are literally destroyed because they don't have the knowledge of the things of God that they need. You can easily get moving into bad doctrine. One of the churches there in the fellowship had gotten a little astray on some bad doctrine. The pastor's wife, in a ladies' meeting or prayer meeting, had somehow come up to the conclusion that there were people, some of the ladies, that they were demon-possessed. And so the way that she decided to get rid of them was to build a big fire in the middle of the sanctuary, right at the church. and that the fire would run the demons away. Well, that was pagan, by the way. 90% of Nicaraguans are Catholic, and all associated with it is their pagan ideas and their pagan ways. And can a person that's a Catholic be a Christian? Absolutely. They can get saved, but they're going to move away from that false doctrine if they come into the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Don't fall out with me now. It's just the truth. And I'm thankful for every Catholic that comes to the Lord, but I also want them to move away from that falseness of Mary worship. And I couldn't even go through all the different things, but it's in those Latin countries, it's just extreme. And the paganistic side of it is very extreme. And so they were led astray. And that had to be dealt with. You know, you're off track. That's not biblical. Build a fire to get rid of demons. It's just not biblical. Of course, it upsets them a little bit, but they have to be corrected. Here's the right way. Get back on track with the word of the Lord. And so there doesn't have to be a choice made between knowledge of the truth and the moving of the Spirit of God. It'll always go hand in hand. And even the operations of the gifts of the Spirit, any of these gifts that are used in the body of Christ, that are all of these gifts are always going to be subject to the truth of the Word of God. Amen. You don't have to make a choice between one or the other. You stay with the Word of the Lord. Now, it's describing in this chapter spiritual gifts. Let me just talk a minute about natural gifts, because before there's spiritual gifts, we all know that there are certain gifted people that aren't Christians, or people that are gifted even before they become Christians, and they have these natural gifts that were given to them by God at birth. And every individual has their different level or their different types of natural gifts that they received from the Lord when they were born. And none of us are the same. We're all distinct. We're all individuals. A lot of people that aren't in the church and aren't serving the Lord, they have natural abilities. Amen? Natural gifts. I mean, there's wonderful singers that have incredible talent who don't know the Lord. They don't serve the Lord. But they are amazing musicians. They're amazing people of all different types of gifts and natural abilities that they have been given by God. So there's the natural gifts that everyone has received from the Lord. And by the way, all of these natural gifts, if you bring those gifts to the Lord and you offer them to the Lord, he can take the natural gifts that he's given to you. You might be a good cook. You might be a seamstress. You might be you might be able to crochet and knit. You might be able to do all different types of things, carpentry or whatever that it might be that you're gifted at doing, and you kind of have a natural bent toward that because God just created you with this natural ability. And you can bring all of that to the Lord, and you can lay it at his feet, and you can consecrate that to the Lord, and you can experience the anointing and the blessing of the Lord even upon your natural gifts that he's given to you. Amen. Praise God. But that is separate. That's not the same thing as a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a gift that's not given to you at birth. A spiritual gift is a gift that's given to you by God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. So it doesn't necessarily have to do with your natural gift or your natural ability. A spiritual gift is something that God puts in your life, that God puts in the body of Christ. He deposits it in the church and gives to you. And many times it will be abilities that you could never, ever have dreamed. It will be God using you in ways that oftentimes is not even your natural inclination. But yet God touches you and empowers you and uses you in some area of spiritual gift. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's two sides of this. We all have natural gifts that have been given to us by God that need to be consecrated, dedicated to God. Give it to the Lord. Amen. You know that everything, this building, most every structure, most every invention was first of all an idea in the mind of that person, the creator. And it was first of all in their mind. And when we think about the fact that God gives to people amazing ability, I came across this. I thought it was really interesting. All the different things that started in a garage. Amazon, Jeff Bezos, founded Amazon, 1994, started it as an online bookstore in his garage in Washington, Bellevue, Washington. Sold his first book in July 1995. Today it is the world's largest online retailer. Started in a garage. Apple, 1976, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, age 21 and 26, started Apple in a garage. Everybody knows the result of that. If you go just down the road from Disney World in Anaheim, California, there's a house, they say it's still there, and it was in that house, that garage of that house, that the whole concept of Disney was all shaped in a garage. Google started off with a guy by the name of Larry Page in a garage. Harley Davidson in a garage. Of course, that kind of fits, doesn't it? In a garage. Hewlett Packard. Actually, this is a list of 10 famous garage startups. And I'll just stop right there just to say, but it started with an idea. First of all, it was in the mind, and then they created it, and then it developed and grew into this multi-million or multi-billion dollar business out of a garage. But it started, the important thing was, it was first of all an idea. And I've gone through all this because I want to encourage you to consider the fact that before you were born, the Bible says you were in the mind of God. And we too often think of ourselves as just one of the crowd, instead of recognizing that before you were born, you were in the mind of God. That's hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? Read about it in Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, isn't this amazing? Which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. That's what the psalmist is saying. That you were, just like all these other guys had these ideas, God is really where everyone gets this natural ability. Amen. These ideas all come as a gift from God. They're not necessarily the gifts of the Spirit, but they are all natural abilities that God gives to different ones. It's amazing, isn't it? When you think about creation, and God made 350,000 different species of beetles. Why?
Well, it's just because God is a God of greatness. God is a God that can't be comprehended. God is a God who apparently loves variety. And so whenever you were created, when man was created, we were the crowning of creation. Man was the crown of all creation. So don't think that your life was not in the mind of God. Before you were born, you were in the mind of God. You were His idea, specifically, you. This is such a wonderful thought to me. That's why that all of us have different fingerprints. Every one of us, distinctly different. Everyone, the 7 billion people that live on this planet, all with different fingerprints, all with different DNA. Since the discovery of the use of DNA, there have been many, many people who had been imprisoned before, who have been released because they were able to go back and run DNA tests on all of the items that was gathered up during investigation of the crime. And when they run the DA, they found out, no, it wasn't this guy, and he's been in prison for 20 years. But now he can be set free, and now we know who the bad guy is. And so they're able to through DNA, without any doubt, show the distinct individual. This is all in the mind of God. This is all God who created us. A lot of people that think, I'm not important, and I'm just the old common person, and I don't really have any place in the kingdom of God. No, you were born with a natural, God-given, distinct ability and natural gifts and talents that He wants you to bring to Him, dedicate them to the Lord, give them to the Lord. Your other choice is just to use them for your own life, for your own good. But the wise thing to do is to bring the natural things that God has created you to be and to use them for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Everything that exists, everything that was created, and every life. That's the reason why that abortion is such a horrible, horrible thing. Because each one of those individuals murdered in abortion have the potential of a life with natural abilities to use it many, many times to be used for good and to bring glory to God. That's why we're all here. That's why you were born, so that your life could bring glory to God, and He's given you natural ability. I went through all this to talk to you about your natural ability to make the great distinction, and that is with how wonderful it is that we have natural abilities that need to be dedicated to God. It's not the same thing as the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. As wonderful as it is that God made you who you are, and He wants you to use it, who you are, for the glory of God, we need to recognize that to be filled with the Spirit, to seek after, to desire the gifts of the Spirit in our life, is to desire something supernatural, miraculous, that God would deposit into your life so that you could even be used supernaturally for God. Not just your natural ability. While God can take your natural ability, anoint that, and use it for His glory, the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural things that God gives to you and places in your life so that wonderful, miraculous things can take place. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so amazing at the way that He prepares us and how that He gives to us. So all of these gifts. And so He says, I want you to, in these first three verses, I want you to be knowledgeable. Don't be ignorant about the fact that God is a God who
will give to you amazing and wonderful things. Verses 4, 5, and 6. Now, these are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The message in these three verses is just that God has created us, and He even gifts us at His will, according to however God wants to do that. Now, the Bible's clear in at the close of this chapter that we are to seek after the best gifts. We're to desire them. We're to covet the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. We should pray for them. We should covet them. We should desire to have wonderful gifts from God in operation in our lives. But we need to understand that with all these diversity and all these differences of gift, that there is a purpose that God primarily wants to accomplish, and that is glorifying God and uniting together the body of Christ. Amen. We all have these various gifts, but they're diversities of gift, difference of gift, but they're all the same. They all bring us together. They all cause us to come together for the common good as a united force for the glory of God. Amen. Whenever there is a moving and the working of the Spirit of God, then God can take a body of people, a group of people filled with the Spirit and operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and he can bring all diverse types of people together, and their common ground is the things of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. That's what unites them together. Verse 24 of this chapter, it says that's what tempers the body together. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. That He takes the weak, He takes those that are don't have necessarily abilities, and He gifts them, and He brings everyone together, and it all causes us to work together as a united force for the kingdom of God. The common good, we are tempered together. Hallelujah. Verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. And the word there means to bear together, to carry the load together, to advantage each other together, that we are a united force for the glory of God. That's why that you can go to a foreign country, not know anyone, but and feel like that you're, you know, so out of place, don't understand the language, don't understand the culture, but you can get into the church. And I've had this experience many, many times in many other countries of the world, that when you go to church, it's like something begins to happen. Even though you're there, you don't speak their language and you don't understand their culture, but it's the Spirit of God that brings you together. It's the Spirit of God that causes you to be able to be united with people that you would never have known otherwise. Hallelujah. To work together. To trust God. To work and to use each one of us. Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body. You see, divisions, the word just means, you know, to rip apart. And many, many times in the body of Christ, that has happened. And when it does happen, then the name of the Lord is dragged through the dirt. And the church loses its testimony. And our effectiveness is greatly diminished because of trouble and division and schism. What can keep that from happening? The working and the moving of the Spirit of God. That's what keeps us together. That's what unites us together. You see, yeah, but what about the fact that when we all get together, we may believe a whole lot alike, but what about those areas where we might having some disagreement? It's the Spirit of God that causes us to be bound together, united together,
and to never allow even small little differences to divide us, because we have a common burden. We have a common cause. And the work of the Spirit of God tempers us together, brings us together, unites us together so that we can be used of the Lord as a body to accomplish what the Lord wants to accomplish through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the will of God, and God wants to manifest His Spirit through the giving of gifts and placing of gifts in the body of Christ. Have you given much thought to that? My emphasis today is twofold. I want to encourage you. Number one, whatever natural gifts and talents and abilities you have, commit them to the Lord. Dedicate them to the Lord. Do whatsoever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. Your gifts, your natural abilities that you have, always look for ways to bring glory to God with your natural ability. Put it in the hands of the Lord. Put it in His feet. Consecrate it to the Lord. That's where the real joy comes from, is whenever you are doing what God created you to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And for me personally, primarily, whenever I'm involved in something to do with outreach to the world, a missions trip or missions giving or missions emphasis, whenever I'm involved in that, it's like I have these continual reminders within my spirit. This is my purpose. This is my purpose for you. As I said, I felt this week the help of the Lord in every respect. And when I left, I actually almost backed out on the trip. I had, I don't know, kind of a caution in my spirit, and I was troubled. I thought, Lord, what's going to happen? Is the plane going to go down, or what's going to happen? And I had to work my way through this. Lord, if you don't want me on this trip, you stop it, you block it, you don't let it happen. And from the very beginning, I mean, the flights were perfect and everything was on schedule. And even in the services, whenever we were teaching, I just felt the help of the Lord all week long. And the reminder, this is why I created you. This is your purpose, is to bring glory. Bring, as the song they were singing, to bring the glory of God to the nations. And I would be a missionary, absolutely would be a missionary, if it weren't for the fact that God has called me to be a missionary sender. Amen. Amen. And to help people get to the mission field and to encourage them. And that's the whole purpose of the missions conference that we always have here every year, is to bless them and to encourage them and to some way, because it's who I am. It's my vision. It's my burden. It's my that has to be given to the Lord. But I have to tell you, I really need the gifts of the Spirit in operation in my life. And we need that here locally among us. All of these various gifts that are listed here in Corinthians, we need to begin to ask the Lord. So number one, commit your natural abilities to God to be used of the Lord. And just make that a commitment. Lord, what gifts, what talents you've given to me, then provide me opportunities and ways that I can use it to glorify your name. Hallelujah. And then secondly, beyond your natural ability, begin to ask the Lord for gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. Ask the Lord to bless you with utterance gifts or wisdom gifts. Ask the Lord to bless you, to be used of the Lord in some area supernaturally, where it will be obvious that it's not your natural ability, it is God that's working in your life. Amen. Supernatural, divinely placed these gifts in your life. Amen. Whenever that takes place, then the church begins to move forward in supernatural ways. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you know, our ideas, our planning and all the things, it's not that we shouldn't use our natural ability. I've been trying to get that emphasis across here
today. We do. We need to give it to God. But at the same time, we need to understand there's certain things that God wants to be to do that are not going to be done except by the Holy Spirit in our life and by these gifts. And the church cannot function and be what the Lord wants us to be in these last days unless we are filled with the Spirit. We are living by the Holy Spirit. John 6 and 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The word means to make alive. It is the Spirit that brings life. The flesh profiteth nothing. We don't have anything. Without me, you're nothing. We have nothing to offer. It is the Holy Spirit in our life. Either our natural ability, consecrated and anointed of the Spirit, given to God, or those supernatural gifts that are placed in our lives. Amen. Praise God. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what the Lord wants to do. That's how that He wants to work. Now, you all know that I've spent the past 7 years, I can't tell you the times that I've had conversations with my son. And I have tried to convince him of what's right. I have tried to point him in the right way. And it was just like over his head. Very little ever did he ever hear. Very little. There had to be something supernatural happen. And for the last some time now, I don't know how long, that's exactly the conclusion that I've had is, Lord, I know that in my hands, this situation is impossible. This is not going to happen. I can't do it. I can't twist his arm. I can't force him. There's going to have to be a work of the Spirit of God. So God divinely arranges people, circumstances, and puts him in his life to influence him. The work of the Holy Ghost, supernaturally, to awaken him to spiritual things. And Zach has had this terrible addiction to drugs. And he told me this morning, this is my new drug. This is my new drug. And he said, I have to be all the way with this or I can't make it. This is my new drug. The things of God, I have to do this. I have to give full attention to this. I told him, I said, you know what's going to happen is that if you give yourself without any, 100%, there is no telling. There is no way that we could ever imagine what God can do. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Not only was he born with natural ability that needs to be consecrated to God, but God can put his hand on him and anoint him, and he can do the same thing for you and for me and for your family members that you're praying for your loved ones that seem too hard, too resistant to the things of God. Oh, when we have the fullness of the Spirit of God, then we are able to see much accomplished. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts. And Lord, that we would both place our hands in your hand. We would dedicate our naturally given abilities to you, Lord. And then, Lord, we would ask you, Lord, grant unto us, Lord, supernatural gifts. Lord, that according to your will, severally as you will, Lord, you dispense the gifts as you will. Put in our hearts a desire to be used of you supernaturally, to be filled with the Spirit and to be used of the Lord in various gifts. So that we can see wonderful, powerful, dynamic things taking place in the lives of people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Do the work. Do the work, Lord. Do a work, I pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.